Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello there, and welcome to Four Times in a Podcast. You join us on the evening of the 21st of April. Been another good week for Celtic since we've last been on. They still remain top of the league. We are 3 points clear going into the split after Rangers drew nothing each at Dens Park during the week. And then, more importantly, Celtic progressed to the Scottish Cup final after a very dramatic, entertaining 3-3 draw with Aberdeen that they won 6-5 on penalties. So quite a lot to discuss in this episode. Delighted to say that Danny and Tony are with me. And Danny, I'll come to you first. As I said, it's been a very good week for Celtic overall. Like, we now got into a split in a very strong position. I think it was you who said in the group chat yesterday, semi-finals are all about winning. But it was quite some day at Hampden yesterday. What did you make it?
Well, Dan, as you quite rightly say, it's been a great week to be a Celtic fan, except the worst thing about it was having to watch Celtic play yesterday. Just a bizarre 120-odd minutes. I mean, the actual game itself lasted about 3 hours. I mean, it started at 12:30 and it just finished before the Scottish National went off at 25-4. So it was like a marathon game. It just started really poorly. Aberdeen obviously got the early goal, which they were talking about was Celtic not scoring early because they wanted to make a game of it. It's not often. In fact, I think it's the first time Carter Vickers has looked silly since he signed for Celtic. Completely lost to Miofsky. Hart came out, couldn't really do much. I know he got a horn on it, or a leg on it, but he never couldn't really do much. And then kind of chasing the game, and except they didn't chase the game because he couldn't get a hold of the ball. And O'Reilly, the first 25 minutes was, he wasn't the only one, but he kind of stood out for me above the rest. Every time he touched the ball, it was bouncing off him, and there's a few of them, it looked like they hadn't been there in a while. So it was, I was quite worried after 20 minutes. And then Kyogo naps in, wins the ball really well again. Didn't he look like scoring when he was throwing goal? You just never thought he was going to score. Luckily, Kuhn had kept up with the play and followed it in. And yeah, he thought, right, let's go. And then just struggled to the end. Second half was much better up until we scored. Forrest came on. That's the perfect role for Forrest. I know we've spoken about it before. There's people clamouring him and this and that. He's got to start and for the running. And no, this is the role. His stage in his career, this is the perfect role for him to come on and be direct and influence games later on. That's what he's there for. He's fun the perfect role for him. He's the perfect person at the minute to do that. He comes off the bench and we score, and then we just For about 5-10 minutes after the Forest goal, they looked to kill it off, and then the last 10 minutes of the game, they just retreated and they got further and further back. Aberdeen had a bit of a go, and the next thing, we were kind of clambering. I mean, what was the... That one where the boy went through and he took a bad touch. And Hart did well to kind of put him off, but he took a bad touch, put it wide. And then you had the one at the corner where I thought Hart got fouled, but they played on, and then he ended up, I think Carter Vickers cleared it off the line, and then it bounced and Hart went to catch it, nearly dropped it out of the line. And then you think, right, well, they've got away with that. But then third time, lucky for Aberdeen, it was a great ball into the box and a good header to each. And then the 6 minutes of injury time, we began to play again, and I thought about it was good when he came on, and it was a great 1-2 with Ida. And then he gave it back to him, and Ida should have buried it. And Ida's a funny one, because when he's scoring and he's playing well, he looks like something we've not had in a while, and you think we should keep him. But when it's easy to say when he's playing well, he's playing well, when he's no, but if he's not playing, it reminds me of Samaras. Like, if he's having a bad game, he's absolutely fucking awful. But he was like that when he came on. He couldn't link the play. He was running about like headless chicken. And he should have buried that. I mean, I think last week he would have took a touch and buried that, but he took a horrible touch, went for a corner, and you need to go through extra time. And I thought we were going to get beat. They didn't look interested. They didn't look like they were going to win, and they looked determined to get beat. And then O'Reilly scores a really nice goal. He takes it really well, and you think, right, let's fucking see it out. And then it's like the second half again. They just retreat. Aberdeen, I mean, the two goals were virtually the same. Scales gets caught under the ball twice. Johnson, for the first one, was never to be seen. The second one, he's just watching the boy cut in and cross it, and Scales gets caught under the ball. And you're going to 3-3, and then at that point they've got all the momentum, so I was just convinced they were going to get beat. And then the penalties, to be fair, 5 out of the 6 or 6 out of the 7 were great. Hart should have saved a few of them. And then the Aberdeen keeper, for some reason, decides he's going to put his teammate off by laying in the ground and wanting treatment. Which these things only seem to happen at Celtic games, like these bizarre things that happen. And then he misses, and you think, oh, here we go. And then I'm thinking to myself, who the fuck's coming up to take it? Is it Scales? I mean, is Scales going to take it? Is it going to be Taylor? Iwata, maybe. And then fucking Hart's thrown in there. And I'm thinking, this is fucking risky. And then obviously he misses. And I thought we were doomed at that point, because that was like basically the third time we had the game won. And we gave it up. And then at that point, we need to keep scoring. Johnson, brilliant. Iwata was probably the pick of the lot. And then Hart made his save. But I'll be honest, I felt nothing, Darren, during the penalties. I felt nothing. I just thought, we deserve to get beat. And it's no like, I see some people saying, oh, you know, people don't like it because Aberdeen had a go and made it difficult. No, I thought it was a great cup tie. Like the Livingston game last month, I thought it was a great cup tie, but I just thought we were determined to get beat. And we'd done it to ourselves. And I think I tweeted about it earlier, but I'd already kind of built up that depressed feeling that what I'd feel like if we didn't win. And when Hart saved the penalty, I let out a cheer and that, but after that, I just kind of sat flat for about half an hour. I don't know how you two felt, but it was just bizarre. But at the end of the day, you know, semi-finals are all about winning, and we're in the final, and we'll have that to look forward to after, you know, what will be a mammoth 5-6 weeks.
I thought it was a really important game in a number of ways. Obviously, a semi-final is always a massive game. But in terms of, like, as I mentioned at the start, we obviously had a boost during the week. And a lot of people, there's more Rangers fans saying that the league's done than there are Celtic fans. But I think it was just a wee bit of a wake-up call that it's not going to be smooth sailing. Like, you obviously got off to the worst possible start. As you say, I think the goal we conceded is absolutely terrible. And as much as Scales gets a lot of criticism, and he was poor yesterday as well, Carter Vickers had just completely caught blindside, and like Miotski's a boy they've come up against often enough that they know he's capable of making their runs in behind, and as you say, Hank Hart got a touch to it, but he couldn't stop it from going in. And I agree with you. I didn't think we looked like we had anything, but as a defence was just sort of all over the place. Aberdeen's tactic in the first half seemed to be just launch diagonals and launch through balls between Taylor and Scales, and if Taylor doesn't make a mistake, Scales will. And it worked for a lot, and they got a lot of joy doing that, their right hand side. And the goal comes from nothing. You've got like Kyogo, as you say, it wasn't his greatest game again, but he hassles that Aberdeen defender and nips the ball away from him. And the finish is obviously no what he'd want. I think it sort of gets caught in his feet, but Poon, calm as you like, puts it away. And he thought then that that would be the sort of gears of spark that we needed to then go on and see the game and make up for this sort of slow start. But didn't he come? Like, I know McGregor was in from the start, and it obviously I don't think he's fully fit, but I thought the midfield three was really weak, and that was what I was calling for at half time. I wanted somebody like Bernardo or somebody come on, so I just thought it was a bit missing. And I think there was a couple of contentious calls. Well, no contention. I think the referee and VAR got them right. I thought obviously with the Scales handball just before half time, obviously looked like it was outside the box, otherwise I think they would have gave it. And Yang was poor. Like, we, I know I had to go at people for slagging him off too harshly, but he was just really poor. I think Danny, you called it here on here last week, he just looks really weak. It's like there's a lot of times it's just, I don't know if he's just still adapting to the physicality of the Scottish game, but it just every time somebody goes in him, he seems to go down. And when like, it's a shame that that red card happened, because that was his sort of best run of form he'd had, and it just does seem to have impacted that he's not been able to pick that back up since he came back into the team. And I think the subs that we made were the right subs. Like, well, obviously, as you say, I think it's the perfect role for Forrest. Like, don't get me wrong, I think when we come on here, I think possibly for that Dundee game on Sunday, Forrest might be the one that gets the nod. But he comes on and he makes a really great impact. And I thought the midfield looked better when Iwata came on as well. Obviously, he came on and he's played the majority of games recently, and as soon as he came on, he had a great chance to play Kyogo through, and I thought he really should have done better with that one. But I think a couple of minutes later, that was when Forrest scored, and we should have really went on and looked to kill off the game. I know Ida had a goal disallowed. I thought that was really lazy from him. When you see the replays, no need to be offside. Like, he's in between two defenders with plenty of space, so if he just holds his run and waits for the right time, it would have been probably game over. And it's just so, like, we spoke about it on here last week, like the amount of late goals that we concede. Like, it happened in the derby, it's happened a couple of times against Motherwell, there's been other games as well where we just seem to concede and switch off. And I thought off three goals were sort of possible worry about the team's concentration. Do you think once the first couple of minutes, and then setting ones at the end of normal time and the third ones at the end of extra time, it just does seem to be a bit of a concentration issue. I think Palma was obviously really poor from it. It sort of stems from his sort of Hollywood pass that he's trying to play. I think if he takes a second to compose himself and pick a better option, we probably then go out. But I think the cross, as I said, I think Taylor and Scales, if one of them wasn't making a mistake, then the other one was, and the two of them got caught in the back post. And it was obviously disappointing. Like, I wasn't worried at that point, but obviously we then go into extra time. Great goal by Matt O'Reilly again. Thought he was quiet, but I say that when I thought he was quiet against Livingston away a few weeks ago. He comes up with these goals, and that's probably why he was the one that remained on the pitch out of the midfield three. And you're thinking surely then that'll be the time that you do go out and see it out. And yeah, again, the third goal that we concede is just it's calamity, because it's almost identical to the second goal. And it's, as I say, the concentration levels just have to be better, and you have to see it out in that position. And then you go into penalties, and I was sitting in the stand, so the penalties were at the other end of the stadium for me, but you just felt the worst, because it looked like we'd obviously thrown the lead away twice late on, and everybody had seen Celtic this season were a team that misses plenty of penalties, and I don't think Hart's saved too many since he's been Celtic keeper for the last three seasons. And to my absolute shock and
utter joy. I think you're right. Apart from Joe Hart's penalty, every other penalty that the outfield players hit was brilliantly hit. They all sort of chose a side and put it away confidently. And I think that's obviously good to see, given the trouble we had. And Hart, we should have been out of sight because Hart sort of dived or two of the Aberdeen ones. And on another day, it wouldn't have even got to his penalty, I don't think. But I was a bit like you when the Aberdeen boy missed and I knew we had the chance to win it. I was sort of looking at it, I worried, because I thought we maybe just didn't have anybody in the outfield that was wanting to take that fifth penalty that could win it. And I was worrying then, I realised that Hart was going to be the one that took it. And it raised my mind. I remember I'd seen a clip of him scoring one for Man City and I thought, you know what, maybe he'll do it. But obviously smacks the post. And at that point, you just knew it was going to go one of two ways. There's been, the last few weeks, Hart's got masses of credit and completely deserved. A lot of people talking about a player of the year now as well. And I thought, if we get beat here, if half the support's just going to turn on him again, it might be sad to see, given he's only got a few weeks of his Celtic career left. But he obviously makes amends and is a hero that day. And I credit to Celtic, as I say, get through to the final. It's all you can ask. I say it's on here last week. You can't trust anybody else to stop that other mob winning trophies. So we'll be back to Hampden on the 25th of May and hoping to complete a double. But there's a long way to go until then. Pony, what was your thoughts on it? As I say, it was just about everything happened in the game yesterday. And I know I was talking to you at halftime in our group chat. It was just a lot of signs that there's a long way to go in this season yet.
Since we've last played, we've watched Rangers beat Ross County and then Dundee get a draw with them quite comfortably. And I think the more time I spent watching them and the less time watching us, it obviously breeds a lot of confidence. And I think to give a bit of context, I think the way that their fans come Wednesday night, 10 o'clock, had totally turned on a lot of their players and even had a bit of their go at their managers. So you're thinking, all right, well, that's got to give us a boost. It's got to give us a boost. As much as people say, oh, the cup and the league, two separate things. I mean, it's all related because you're going for both and it does give you a lift. I think I predicted it would be a close game. I think I say it's 2-0, then Miofsky would score, but Miofsky got in really quickly and that's what he's done. He's scored at Ibrox, he's scored against us, he's now scored and he's at Hampden. He's obviously a very clinical player when it comes to the big occasion. I thought it was just a slow start. It's a really poor goal to lose. Cameron Carter-Vickers is a bit kind of slow on it, I guess. But the fact he's getting the pass away is poor to get Miofsky in. And then after that, we kind of huffed and puffed and I just felt as if all I watched was the bogging out for, what would you call it? For Aberdeen goal kicks. And then, I don't know what the boy McDonald's doing, just fucking dilly-dallying, and then bang, he gets punished. I agree with Darian. I never thought Kyogo was going to score when he was burned down in goal. And then it falls to Coon, who scores an easy goal, but at least he's there to do it. I thought he had an okay game. And then once you go ahead, you're thinking kill the game, but we don't. And as you say, Ida, he's well offside at the time. When I watched in the telly, I didn't come here for it, and I'm going, fuck, he seems adamant he was onside. Then it showed you the replay. I thought, fuck, you're getting me excited for nothing. You're miles offside. The goals we concede are fucking criminal, I have to admit. I mean, I remember we'd done the last time Celtic drew 3-3 and won on penalties. We'd done, it was actually kind of similar to that game where when we won the quadruple treble, and we'd done two episodes that day. We'd done one to celebrate the achievement and another one about some of the real issues and the performance. And look, semi finals are all about winning, and great credit to the players and the management for getting us there. Some of the defending was worrying. I'd be lying if I says it was there. I mean, to concede two late goals when you're in a winning position against Aberdeen, a team who are on their arse, they've had a dreadful season. Not a lot of the fans really decided to turn up. I mean, I think they had 25,000 when we got them the Scottish Cup final back when Brendan was here the first time. I don't know if they even brought half of that. And then, you think the 2-1... your pressing. Just get that third goal and everybody can kind of relax and things like that. But Scales is all over the place for it. It's just Johnson's no stopping the cross. To concede it once in the game in the 90, right, okay, let's learn for it. But to concede it again in the 120th, I mean, haven't we been no learning? I mean, Brendan brings on the third centre-half to try and shore it up, which is fine. I don't have an issue with that. It's not a bad idea if he's going to win a header, but he brings him on. I think he's on the pitch 2 minutes. We can see it just looks dead stupid. It's a bit worrying for me, these kind of, especially with how tense the next 5 games are going to be. And obviously, the Scottish Cup final, but we'll get to that when it comes. It's all about the league now. Like, last minutes against Motherwell, last minute against Kilmarnock, and these haven't even been sucker punches. They've been goals you could see coming twice against Rangers later on. We throw away leads. It's quite poor and something we need to work on. We're forever battering the Huns about their bottle and their mentality, whereby we're struggling to see out tight games. And I don't really know why. We've done it so many times last season when it was close scorelines, especially against the Huns, kind of 3-2, 1-0 and just getting over the line. But it was disappointing that we conceded the goals, but credit the penalty kick takers. I don't know where the fuck they've been all season, because our penalties in the whole have been pretty disastrous. But I thought every penalty apart from Big Joe's was spot on, and it was a good save. Big Joe hard to win, is it? I mean, I'm like Danny. When it went to penalties, I thought there's fucking no way we can win this, because all we've done is missed penalties all season. Hart steps up and you're just thinking, this just isn't right. Even if he wants to take one, I'm thinking, surely there's got to be one of the players arguing with him on it. But he misses and then you think, oh, we've fucking had it. But Johnson and Awata's penalties were very good, and we get through, and obviously we'll meet Rangers in the final. So, aye, there's still a long way to go in the league. I know a lot of people think it's done, but I think that's just madness. We're only 3 points in it with 5 games to go. If we win our next 3 games, as much as it won't be mathematically done, it'll be done, because we'll be 6 clear with 2 to play and a superior goal difference, I would imagine. So, aye, a long way to go. Credit to the players. That's the thing. They're obviously united. It's a very unified group. You can see it when they score goals, the way they celebrate. There's unity there. It's just somehow times there doesn't seem to be cohesion when it comes to defending, which is worrying. But I'm not going to start talking about next season and who we should be bringing in. For now, we need to support the players we've got and fucking drag this title over the line and hopefully drag the Scottish Cup with it. I will give Forrest a lot of credit. I think whenever he's come on as a sub recently, he's looked brilliant. And I thought he was really effective yesterday, and I think he deserves an enormous amount of plaudits, because he usually gets stuck and you usually dread him coming on, but I quite like watching him now. I don't know if Brendan's maybe changed something. Credit to him as well. I think Forrest is starting to look like an asset off the bench. I'm not saying he needs to stay or anything like that. I'm just saying I think he's done a job with him. But hey-ho, that's what football's all about. And yesterday it was tense. You felt sick watching it, but we came out on top. So thankful for that.
Hi, that's it. And just on James Forrest, I think you're right. I think he obviously had a great impact when he came on. I think he had a shot just before he scored as well. So I think the directness of him is just really pleasing to see, especially when Yang was poor. And I think it sort of, in a way, just shows how much we miss Maeda as well. Because I think the three that are sort of occupying that spot at the moment in terms of Palma, Yang and Forrest, like, I know Maeda gets called inconsistent at times, but I think these guys take it to another level. I wouldn't get too carried away with Forrest. He's also a really important player. Rodgers has spoken up a lot this season, and quite rightly so. He's been there a long time. I remember, and I think it was Andrew's first season when he scored the goal against St Johnstone in the semi-final as well. He comes up with these big goals, and he's got a part to play. Whether I don't think it will. It's like a long-term starter, but if he starts on Sunday, I don't think many will be sort of arguing against it. And Palma as well, as much as I criticise him for the second goal, I know he put on his Instagram that he knows he's not at the level he wants to be at the moment, so at least there's that sort of accountability as well. And I think you were touching it there, Tony, a team to look united and pushing in the one direction. Danny, just before we move on,
when Joe Hart stepped up to take that, like, I know Ederson took one for Man City during the week against Real Madrid in a penalty shootout, but what do you think happened there? Was that sort of Hart taking rank and saying that he would take responsibility, or was it a case of, do you think one of the outfield players should have said that, obviously there was, I think, six at the time that hadn't hit one before him, should him or maybe the manager or the captain been saying that he would be further down the line before Hart was the one that stepped up to take one?
I really don't know. We spoke about this yesterday for a while, but obviously it was by design, because I've seen a lot of people were calling the rest of them cowards and saying, you know, watching the keeper step up, you know, they should dust their all shite bags. But judging by how well Johnson and Nawata took their penalties, it would suggest that it was by design. And I know Rodgers came out and Hart's came out and said he always puts himself forward, and Rodgers has said he was always taking the fifth one. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he should. Because when he stepped up first, my first reaction was, oh, for fuck's sake. And then I started thinking, well, maybe you get the keeper out the road. And then, you know, because when Aberdeen's keeper's got to take, we have an outfield player to take if it gets that far. And then he missed, and I just thought, we're doing our best to get beat here. And then he started winking at the camera. I was like, let's get on. But then it was bizarre. I know Ederson stepped up the other night and took it away. I know Hart's taken one previously in a shootout, but I don't know, I just thought we were fucking about by letting the keeper take it. And I think it was by design. I think the others might have wanted to take it, but Forrest was off, McGregor was off, Hitati was off. You know, they're three players that you would think would take a penalty if they were on the park. So maybe it was just that got to the point where Hart, as you say, put himself forward. he's got some mentality. I mean, he sat the whole time in the penalty shootout. He was constantly in their Aberdeen players' faces. He had a big stupid smile on his face when he missed his, and he put a lot of pressure on the next guy coming up, and he made the save, didn't he, to win it, so he ended up the hero. But I just thought they were fucking about. But then, I don't know if I thought that because I was kind of, as I say, didn't really feel much during the penalty shootout, because I thought we were going to get beat, but also, we kind of deserved the way that they played. I agree with what you both said. I just think at the back, there's a unit, they're just very poor. They've started dragging Carter Vickers down to their level. Yesterday, Carter Vickers was as bad as I've seen him. And that penalty thing that he got away with, I thought I was the only person watching it that noticed the ref gave us a free kick instead of the penalty. The BBC were at it pretending they didn't know what was going on. But when you see it again, like, Carter Vickers never gets caught out like that. And he got done at the goal, and then that, and you thought, fuck. I just thought they were just, as Tony said, it's not a new thing. It's been happening all season, and it's the reason why we've not already won the league. It's just, like, it was funny because he brought Navroski on to play at the back, and then 2 minutes later, across into the box, and Aberdeen have scored, and they don't defend well as a unit. They're obviously all playing for the manager, they're all playing for the team, and that's great, but just defensively, they're really, really poor. And whatever it is, you know, we might, you know, it's still a maybe to me, we might get away with it and win a double. You know, we're on course to get away with it and win a double, but we need a big improvement in the future, because we'll not get away with it again next year. It just won't happen. Thought we were. And we gee up a lot of chances. You know, teams don't need one chance. It used to say, oh, when you play against Celtic, you need to take the chances you get because you don't go often. But we gee up a lot of chances now. And I don't think McGregor's fit. I think that's maybe an issue. McGregor's used to dictating the play, and he's no fit. And I think we need to get him fit quickly, because if McGregor's no fit for the running, because I thought he was very slow yesterday in Labour, and he actually spent most of his time in the park telling Scales where to be, which I thought was quite telling. Scales, what he did have going for him at the start of the season was, you know, that he could defend basically, you know, as a basic defender, he was quite good, but he's not even got that now. I was quite surprised he came back in, actually, because I thought Navroski looked quite good next to Carter Vickers, and it's just a massive gamble. they got away with it yesterday, and they're on course to get away with it again. So, I know there is no questions about Joe Hart. I think he wanted to take it, but the thing was, I don't know if you've seen the interview, but he done after the game. He's sitting at the press area because he's got like his training gear on. But the question is, if they get a penalty in the final, do you want to take it? And he said 100%. So let's hope we don't see that.
But you're going to watch it when it's the fifth penalty, Danny, in the 25th.
If it gets the penalties, I don't know. I mean, I tend to be quite positive, but yesterday I just thought they were going to get beat. It was almost like all the momentum was with Aberdeen, right? Because they equalised twice. I thought they were going to get beat in extra time. Then that Sokler missed a fucking sitter. And then I thought, here we go. And then we score, and you think, right, let's just play it. Because if the game had finished 2-1 after Forest goal, right, you'd have said, Aberdeen came, played well for half an hour, but Celtic, you know, deserved to win. But then, when they equalise, and then they equalise again, I said, it's only going one way. We're going to get beat. And I'm sorry to say, but I was sitting thinking about who was going to miss. Who was going to miss for us? But Ida put it away nicely, and then who took a second one? Was it Bernardo? See you later on.
Palma, I think.
Palma. I thought Palma was going to miss. He took a nice penalty, and then Bernardo and O'Reilly. Bernardo was the one to keep a got to, wasn't it? Aye, and then Hart dived there too. But aye, when it got to the penalties, I thought we're going to get beat. Usually I'm pretty confident, but
I thought Iwatis was the pick of the bunch, and I was worried because he looked like finished on at the end of all time after they'd been halved in two.
Aye, that was a really bad tackle on him as well, which the ref, I don't even think the boy get booked for it. But do you remember the last when we get beat? When they beat us in the semi final, like it was Rogic, and actually Rogic was the only person I was confident was going to score in that shootout. But you know, when it's not that we run penalties often, but when people step up, you're like, oh for fuck's sake. But whenever really Palmer was the only person I thought that yesterday. Because I thought he was going to do a stupid stutter and have to ride to the keeper, but he actually took it really well. The rest of them I was pretty confident until Joe Hart. I didn't think Hart was going to score for a minute. I don't know. And then Johnson I was quite happy about. And when Iwata came up, Iwata usually strikes a good ball, so I wasn't that kind of hanging to put it really away nice. But see if we'd have got to like Taylor, Scales, Carter Vickers, I mean, Navroki, I'd been on the fuck, I don't know. That's when I really would have got thingy, but as I say, but the six of them deserve a bit of praise for the way they took them. I just wish somebody'd fucking done that in the fifth spot.
Aye, definitely, as you say, it does. It's been on their mind as well, the fact that we've missed a lot of penalties, a lot of the. Obviously, Ida's missed the last one he took at Tynecastle was terrible, and Palmer's missed two in the same game in a few others. So it's obviously a great mentality for them as well. And Tony, we'll move on after this, but just on, I know you're not on Twitter, so you maybe not seen as much, but the whole rest of non-Celtic supporting football fans in Scotland, they seem to not be able to understand why Aberdeen didn't get a penalty for the one that Carter Vickers was supposedly gave the foul away. What was your thoughts at the time? I was unsure at the time because I was at East End. I was completely the other end. But when I seen it back, I don't understand what all the fuss has been because it's clearly a foul on Alistair Johnston. People are acting like they don't know that because of VAR, the refs can delay for a few seconds to see an attack player. And like if you think about the very first game we had VAR in was a game at Tynecastle, and we had a perfectly good goal disallowed because the referee
blew for a foul on Anthony Ralston, who put it away, and then the replay showed it wasn't a foul. So for once, I'm going to give the referee a bit of credit. I thought Don Robertson was absolutely spot on to let the attack play out and then give the free kick as he seen at the time. Like, what was your thoughts on the time, and can you understand why everybody else seems so outraged about it?
Well, at the time, I thought it was a penalty. Danny's right, he must have been the only, because when Don Robertson gives a foul, he points. And it looks as though he's pointed to the penalty spot, but he's obviously blown it up because he's bringing it back. For the, I didn't realise it was a foul on Alistair Johnson until the day. I think it's a clear foul. I think Coyle clatters into the back here when he gets down. I mean, I guess people just hate Celtic winning, which is fine. I get it. I would hate Celtic as well if I'd watched them for so long. And so people are hoping we lose the league and lose the cup final and whatever else, but I don't think it was overly controversial. The actual penalties itself, I don't know if it would have been given, because I'm not really sure the rule of that, because if you go back to the September one at Ibrox, when Lagerbielke goes to kick the ball and he ends up kicking the back, I think it's maybe Desser's leg. That's even what happens with Carter Vickers. To be honest, though, I don't really know what the fuck Cameron Carter Vickers is doing, because he's nowhere near the ball, just kicks it back in a guy's foot. So, but the boy seemed to be kind of halfway down by the time there was any contact. But I think he's gave it for the original foul. And it's not as if that was a penalty to win the game. That would just have been to equalise. And then Celtic would have had longer probably to press the issue and try and get the winner next time. So I guess he's like, you know what it's like. Everybody thinks there's a conspiracy against them. Rangers fans think there's a conspiracy helping us. We think there's a conspiracy helping them. And both our forms and their forms are filled with people that want both clubs to take the SFA to task. I mean, I think there's a major issue with referees, and I would be more than happy for most of them or all of them to be removed or made professional and made to held to a higher standard and have to do interviews after games, explain decisions, etc., etc. But nothing's got to change, because deep down, Celtic Rangers at the higher levels don't really care. So, no, I don't think it's overly controversial. The handball, I think, would have been harsh, but who am I to talk about the handball, though, because I haven't a clue when it's a penalty and when it isn't when it comes to handball. Not a notion, a pure guess. I don't know what the rule is. I don't think the refs know. I don't think the VAR team know. I think it's just a guessing game at times. So maybe that was a penalty. Maybe it wasn't, really. I don't know. I don't know what Scales was meant to do with his hands, but the laws of the game, maybe it was. But I think the explanation seemed to be it was outside the box, which suggests if it was inside, they would have gave it. So, I didn't mean to kind of question the players' mentality because of the late goal scored. I mean, give them enormous credit when it came down to it. Their bottle was brilliant, and they scored the penalties to get us through the next round. So it's just basically on to Dundee now. But yesterday was... I think it's good to give the players another boost, though, the fact that they're in the final, they dug it out in the end, and they're in such a good position in the league. We're whereby... We need to win 5 out of 5 to, I think we can win 4 and draw against Rangers. To, if you win your next 3 games, you're the champions. Which is a good position, seeing as had Rangers beat us, we'd be 5 points behind and needing snookers and needing to beat them and needing to do all this. So I think we need to just go and win the next game against Dundee. If they play the way they did against Rangers, we'll be in for a tough time yet, but we need to be clinical. That's one thing. We need to be a lot more clinical. When we get into good positions, we need to make sure we're getting crosses in or cutbacks or whatever, and then when we're getting shots away, we're getting the ball in there. I mean, that chance he'd have missed for 3-2 just before extra time, that's good to go in. That's good to, he's good to take a better touch and score. So, and then the one at 3, when we're 3-2 up, he should put the game to bed. So, aye, massive 5 games. As Roger says, this is when Celtic come alive, and Dundee away next up, and aye, send it on.
Also, Don Robertson, and see, since VAR's come in, they've no blown straight away. So people are saying, oh, but why did he wait? He waited because at that point he had to make, like, you know what I mean, he had to make a decision. Because if Aberdeen are scoring there, he's got to leave it to play out. But it came to a kind of natural end, so that's why he gave the foul.
As I was saying, the only time they blew was when fucking Ralston scored at Tynecastle in that first game.
Aye, and it's just bizarre that he's getting a lot of grief for getting the right decision. I mean, a lot of people, it's like that Man U Coventry game, everybody lets short a VAR because they gave it offside as an offside, but purely because, I mean, I'm one of them, but we all wanted Coventry to win there. But people get a sniff of Celtic getting beat and are just happy to disregard the rules to get what they want. And it's pretty sad the way folk have reacted. But if you're an Aberdeen fan, I mean, you must be pulling your hair out watching this team, because they've been shite all season apart from a game at Ibrox against Rangers, a game at home against them, and two games against us. Apart from that, they've been bollocks. It must be gutting, but you know, we've got a lot to look forward to now. But this thing about Rodgers and us coming alive and all that, I really hope he's proven right over the next couple of weeks.
Certainly hope so, and we will move on to the Dundee game now, since we've been on the split fixtures have come out, and it sends us to Saints Park on match day one of the split on that fantastic playing surface. We then will host Hearts at home, then the Glasgow Derby at Celtic Park, followed by a midweek trip to Rugby Park to play Kilmarnock before we finish at home to St Mirren. Danny, I'll come back to you. As I say, we're now in a split proper. We've got the fixtures, but more importantly, we go in with a 3-point lead and a five better goal difference at this moment. Obviously, Rangers play just before us on Sunday. They're away at St Mirren. So unless they win six or better on Sunday, then we will start that game still top of the league, but could be level just, well, no level, would be ahead only on goal difference if they win at lunchtime. What's your thoughts on how we're getting into this? And I know Dundee have had their issues with the pitch, but I'd say our better performances have came against Dundee. I think it's 13-1 in aggregate over the three games we've played them this season. Obviously 2 3-0s and then that great 7-1 win at Celtic Park at the end of February. So what's your thoughts going into this one?
Business. It's the business end of the season, isn't it? I mean, it's not going to be, no game's going to be easy now. And we've proven yesterday that if we're not on it, then other teams can exploit us and attack us. I mean, Aberdeen are a bottom six team. Dundee are a top six team. So I think over the course of the season, Dundee have been better than Aberdeen. So if we don't play to our potential and play as well as we can, then Dundee will harm us. I thought Dundee were really good the other night against Rangers. I mean, if they had a wee bit more quality, actually, they would have beat Rangers at the end. So they'll be up for it. A bit annoyed that they're playing before us. But hopefully, you know, they'll drop points and then we can focus on going even further clear or at least keeping a 3-point gap, which is, you know, but to be honest, for us, it's all about them. We need to just keep winning. And then whatever day is irrelevant if we keep winning. But I'm incredibly nervous. I mean, we just haven't seemed to get the job done this season yet. And you're talking about that late goal against Motherwell, that late goal against Kilmarnock. I mean, we're 7 clear. That's before Matondo's goal. So we could be 9 points clear or 10 points clear of them. And you're talking about, you know, just seeing it out. But no, there's still work to be done and it's not done yet. So I'm a wee bit nervous getting this split. What's making me more nervous is they seem to have completely chucked it. And now they're talking about, oh, let's just win the Scottish Cup. Let's win a cup double. Whereas if it was near the fit and I'd sat and watched us play like them for the last few weeks, I'd be on here telling everybody how we're going to win the league. So it's not done yet. And I actually thought there's been a bit of complacency for what we've seen online this week for Celtic fans. I just hope the team, I hope it doesn't stretch forward into the team. But I think yesterday's performance and getting away with it could be the best thing that happened to us, because they might just refocus now and, but hopefully they refocus now and kick on, because the next 5 games are really, really going to be season defining.
Absolutely. And Tony, I'll bring you in. What's your thoughts on the way the split fixtures have been announced? And I know the one a lot of people were more worried than it and was
Their trip to Rugby Park, I think that's on the second last match day now, and the way things have worked out, we could, like we before the St Mirren game, we just say win the last six games and you've won the league. But if we win the next three, we'll all but have sealed the league, barring disastrous return the goal difference in the last two games. So, what's your thoughts on how we're getting in it? As I say, since we've last been on, Rangers have brought 5 points, which has really thrown the initiative back to us. What's your thoughts getting in this one? Is it just a case of taking them off one by one, or are you, how are you feeling more confident?
Well, I guess for the team and the management, it has to be one by one, but it doesn't matter if I look ahead, I don't think it's going to have any impact on the team. But I'm very much of the take it a game by game and tick them off. And I mean, really, we should be getting into the split 2 points behind. I mean, and we had to be immaculate. I still think we need to be immaculate until we play Rangers. Then we need to at least get a draw, and then you're in a very good position, obviously. See, if you want to win the league, you're going to need to beat Hearts at home, and you're going to need to beat Killy at Rugby Park. It's as simple as that. We shouldn't be fearing these teams. We're better than them. They've obviously had great success against us, and they've been the better teams in the games that beat us. But we need to raise our game for it. Celtic Park, when we play Hearts, will need to be a cauldron. It'll need to be right behind the team. And things are going to go wrong. It happened even when Ange was gone for the league, as you probably remember in the split. Hearts scored first against us, the game against Rangers. They battered the second half and they just got out with a draw. So the D United even equalised with us the night we could win the league. So there's got to be twists and turns. I think it's just trying to stick with the team. It's going to be nervy, it's going to be torturous, but it's just about trying to go over the line. I'm delighted we've ended up three clear getting into it. If you'd have said that to me after we beat St Mirren, I wouldn't have believed you. So after the Rangers game, I thought we could win the league, and I thought we could win all five. I still think we can win all five. I don't think we will. I don't think we'll win all five games. But we're capable of it. But it just seems very unlikely we're going to put together five magic performances out of nowhere. We've not really done it. We're still kind of playing in halves as opposed to full performances. I think, irrespective of what Rangers do, I mean, look, if they decide to go and drop points to St Mirren, then fucking I'll be happier than anybody, because then beating Dundee and beating Hearts and then beating them, you would be the champions. So they've got the chance to put a bit of pressure on us before we play Dundee. They go away to St Mirren. I don't think that'll be an easy game. I think the last time they played there, they just managed to win 1-0. So all you can hope for is they drop points and maybe relieve some pressure. But I think you need to be prepared for the fact that they might win all their games apart from the one against us. So I think we just, if we can get to Rugby Park 3 points clear, I'd be delighted. Obviously, I think people are all kind of already talking about if we beat Rangers, need it, and we can win the league against them and all that. That's all great. It's fine to speculate. But for me, if come the game at Rugby Park with two games left or 3 points clear, I would be delighted with that. So I think if you can beat Hearts and beat the D and then draw against Rangers, and I think obviously we'll go into that game to win it. But if we go to Rugby Park, 3 points clear, and then sitting in at home, I think you take that. But they will be able to win every game as it was before they dropped points. So we're in a great position, but I'm with Danny. It's terribly nerve-wracking, it's exciting, and I guess people enjoy title races, but I don't know if anybody really enjoys them, but it's good for the game and all that shit. But if it was up to me, the Huns would lose to St Mirren and Killy, we'd beat Hearts and Dundee and be the champions, and we could all relax for the last few games. But I still think there's twists and turns to come. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes to the last day still. I don't think it's over. I think the less we played this week and the more the Huns played probably gave people more belief than anything, as opposed to anything we've done. We could have beat Aberdeen in 120 minutes, and I think they're 8th or 9th in the league and had a dreadful season, so I'm certainly not getting ahead of myself. But we're the strong favourites to win the league, and hopefully we can. But it's going to be nervy. There's going to be a lot of nervy moments, but hopefully we can go up to Dundee and get that job done, and then really you're just looking at a massive game against Hearts, which which has been a major issue for us. We've played them the last twice, conceded four, lost two and scored nothing. So we'll need to really up our game.
Aye, definitely. Danny, I'll just take your prediction for the Dundee game, and would you be making any changes to the team? Obviously, a few calls for James Forrest to come in from the start, and just on what he says about if Cal McGregor's no fit, would you be tempted to bring Iwata back into that midfield? Obviously, I think we played really well at Dens Park for the first time we went into this season. I think that was a game we had close to 40 attempts on goal and over 20 corners, but that even then it was... took to the second half. I think it was Bernardo that got the goal, and then Mikey Johnston come off the bench and get two. So who would your team be in terms of changes from Saturday, and what's your prediction?
I would actually play Bernardo if McGregor's no fit. I mean, I like Iwata a lot, but I'd like it just to start taking the game to teams now and fucking going for it. Bernardo, I've been impressed with him the last couple of weeks. He's come on off the bench. I think he drew a start, and I played O'Reilly as the deepest. I know he played there in the Champions League last season. O'Reilly and he didn't do too bad. No saying you need to neglect your defensive duties. Nails me just saying they've no defended well as a unit, and then I would leave them without any protection. But, you know, I'd just go for it. We'd probably bring in Iwata. We'd probably keep the same team. I would keep the same 11 apart for Yang if everybody's fit. I'd bring in Palmer and leave Forrest for later. I just think Yang for me is just, yes, I felt really sorry for him, but I just doubt he got the mentality for it. He's brushed off the ball too easy. It got to the point where I was shocked he came out for the second half, because Rodgers has made changes at half time pretty regularly this season, and he came out and a lovely touch inside, and all he had to do was square it to O'Reilly, and he tried to shoot. I think he's trying too hard to do something positive, which is a shame. And we all want him to do well, but I just thought yesterday he was particularly bad, and he got shoved off the ball a few times. You're looking for a bit of inspiration next week. So I wouldn't know. I'd play Palmer. I think Palmer's better on the ball. I don't know if you've seen it, but Palmer had a really kind of open Instagram post where he said he's not been playing at the level he wants and the level he can, but he's proud of the team and all that, and it's a great group. So it's quite refreshing to see that, because it's a good mentality to have, and I think he's not played well recently, Palmer. I still think he can be effective on the ball. I still think if you give him the ball in good areas, he tends to suffer when we give him the ball constantly. I'd much rather Palmer ran onto a ball and smacked it than we kept feeding it. I don't really want to make any predictions. There's still a week to go. It depends on if McGregor's fit, I would play him. We need to get McGregor properly match fit again for the Rangers game. He needs to be on it, because we lost it. That day with Foot McGregor, properly fit, and when he came on, he was miles off it. And then I thought yesterday he looked off the pace. And if he's fit, we'll be fine. I hope. A prediction. It'll be 2-0. I think we'll score early, and then it'll be tense. Actually, I think Kyogo will score away from home, so you can stop annoying Tony with that start. And then Palmer will score just before he gets replaced later on. But it's going to be nervy. It's not going to be easy. I think we'll edge it. And as Tony said there, man, you've got five games to win the league. Like, surely the players, the coaching staff, this is what you play for, isn't it? Is to go and win things. And you've got five games where you're going to be heavy favourite in all five of them to go and win the league. If you'd have gave us that at the start of the season, you know, you're 3 points in front, you've got five games to win the league, we'd all have took it. The players need to start taking a bit of responsibility and just going, whatever's happened in the first 33 league games is now irrelevant, and sort of doing it in the next five. So hopefully they kick on and see it through for us, but it's not going to be very I don't think it'll be straightforward as I would like it to be.
I think you're right. If you were offered that at the start of the season, you would have took it with it all in your own hands. I guess you were offered in October, you'd have told them to get the fuck. But no, I think Dundee will be a tricky game. They obviously top six for a reason. And they took a real doing off us at the end of February, so they'll be looking to keep it tight. And like they were probably embarrassed that night at Celtic Park, we conceded 7. So they'll be looking to keep a clean sheet as much as possible. But I think we will have too much for them. I think they were probably a bit fired up due to the criticism they had for the Rangers last week. I'm not saying they're going to like doing this by any means, but I just think they would have put everything into that. But I think we will have too much. I probably think McGregor will stay in there. Just I think his leadership is needed. And as you said, we've got important games coming up that you really need him as fresh and as on form as possible. I wouldn't be surprised if Palmer comes in, but I think Rodgers will go with Forrest. I think he'll just reward them for that sort of impact. And as I said earlier, it wouldn't surprise me if he goes and has this thinker. I think the three of them are really inconsistent and that have replaced my head at the moment. So it'll be interesting to see who does stay in there. Tony, what's your prediction? And is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
I think we'll win 1-0. I think it'll be one of the horrible games. But we'll miss loads of chances. We'll be down 0-0 at half time, of course. We'll score, say Kyogo score just to break the away hoodoo, as Danny says, on about the 70th. And then the last 10 minutes we'll be shiting ourselves and they'll miss a good chance, something like that. Funnily enough, you know, see when we were 2 points behind, well, we've never been 2 points behind for a while, but nobody had the games in hand and we had to win 5-5. I was so relaxed because we're one of the favourites. But see now that we're the favourites, fucking shite myself. I don't know, but I think that's kind of what Danny was getting it as well. But I was thinking we had to win 5 out of 5. I thought I'd fucking send it on. Maybe only need to win 3 out of the next 5. I'm a bag of nerves. I think it's just because you're that desperate to fire the line with a trophy in hand. But I'll go for 1-0, a really tense game. I think Rangers will beat St Mirren, so I think it'll be a game we really need to win. I think it's just fucking hold on to your hats and hope for the best.
Tony, it's funny you say that. See, when we were going to Tynecastle a few weeks ago, I was so relaxed thinking we need to win to stay. I think we would have been 5 behind. I was like, we need to win to stay 2 behind. And I was kind of confident. And then Motherwell beat them at Ibrox. And I was suddenly nervous because if we'd have won, we'd have tapped the league, and I thought, oh, fuck. I had that in my head that we need to win to stay 2 behind, and then all of a sudden we could go tap, and I started to get really nervous, and it's not so much that because we're favourites, I think it's just, I don't know, I used to be so positive, I just expect something to go wrong, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was 1-0, and Dundee missed a sitter late on, it's just, I don't know, that. I'd love to win the next 5. I'd love to be folding up at half time in the next 5 games and just no need to worry about it. But judging by how the season's went, and they've not really got going all season. Even when they were 8 clear, they just started to look a wee bit like a swagger about them when they went to Tynecastle 1-4-1, and then they drew with Hibs the next week, and then the Motherwell game was shortly after that, and then the December carry on. But hopefully, even at that point, they won the. Like in full swing, and I don't think they'll get a full swing before they win the league. But if they, even if they win the league, I don't think they'll do it at Tap Gear. So, but it's kind of irrelevant, isn't it? You know, just fucking win. Just 5 games to win the league. This is professional players. This is what you should be after. And I, Dan, how do you see it going? Have you got a prediction?
I'm relatively confident for this one coming up. I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but I feel that. St Mirren, I've got half a chance if they set up well enough. Well, I know we passed them pretty easily in the end last time we played them, but I wouldn't be surprised if they got something at home. But I think, as I say, Dundee's one of the teams we've consistently played pretty well against this season. So I think we'll win 3-0, and I think Matt O'Reilly will go on the score sheet again along with James Forrest and Paolo Bernardo. So I'm going to keep.
Go to score, you're
no, yeah, this is what I'm building to. He's going to score the goal to win his league at Rugby Park. Just that's what he's saving it for. I've decided that's the only reason he's went 6 years without an away goal. But no, I'm pretty confident for Sunday. I think we'll whatever way necessary, we'll get the win. No use of wait for 1-0 and 2-0, but I'm hoping we'll be more comfortable. And I know we're a team of halves at the moment, so hopefully we're taking it for stuff and just sort of put the game out of sight. Aye, that's us just about hitting an hour again. So, Danny, on you go.
I just think we're better away from home at the minute than we're at home. So, hopefully you're right.
Aye, definitely. And I don't know. It's what I am. We'll soon see. Hopefully, I think Celtic will be. But Aberdeen threw everything into that game. I know Dundee will be no sitting down to us. But I just think that one-off game probably had that mere sort of chance of them at Aberdeen being really gone attacking us. Whereas I think, as I say, I think Dundee will just be looking to keep it tight after the last time we played them. But aye, three predictions of wins there. And we will be back after that game to hopefully discuss another Celtic victory and look ahead to that massive game at home to Celtic Park. If you've made it this far, we appreciate it. As I say, it's hitting about the 1 hour mark, so we do greatly appreciate it if you've took the time to listen to the full episode. Make sure you're following us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, wherever you get your social media fix. Just search for Four Times in a Podcast. And I hopefully will be speaking to you next week when Celtic are in an even stronger position to secure another league title. Hail, hail.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.